football on off the ball.
But he's astounding us all with what he's doing already. But I do think we are surely at the end. So let's bring every little last drop out of it.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
England not very good. After being the best team in the tournament. This is how it's going to happen though, right? They're not going to win the competition by slashing their way through six games. There will be setbacks. How they deal with those setbacks will define their success or failure, right?
Yeah. It looked like the England of 5 years ago, all over again. I thought they'd gotten past this kind of style of football, but...
Didn't somebody on the show say it'll be interesting to see what happens? Well, it might have been John Bruin. It'll be interesting to see what happens when they play against a team who plays in the low block.
Yeah.
And once you get past the round of 32, you're unlikely to be playing any teams who are not trying to win.
Mm.
That's my glass half full.
Yeah, after the Croatia game, I think it was very obvious what England were doing, and the game plan was for Harry Kane to drop deep and Jude Bellingham make those runs in behind. Turns out you can't make those runs in behind when there's nowhere to run. So I think Ghana got their game plan pretty spot on here. Carlos Queiroz, masterpiece.
Will any of the good teams play like that? Like the Dutch might, would they? Would they be happy to just sit back and...
I don't know if the Dutch would.
France aren't,
but they kind of are though as well. Like that Deschamps style is that really of, you know, we'll beat you by a goal or two, and we have that many players that are that good individually that we could beat you by five.
Well, it's more that like we're just going to let you have the ball because we think you're so bad at using it that you're not going to. Look, maybe France will do that. Maybe they could just decide to play against England on the entire counter-attack.
Yeah, the thing is, they could end up playing. I don't know how the draw is laid out, really, in how, you know, the last 32 or the last 16 works out for them. But you could easily get drawn against someone like a Colombia or someone like a, I don't know, of that ilk, a Morocco maybe, who might do something similar.
Well, Morocco could, and they've brilliant at it.
You know, that kind of way. Like, I don't know. But you're right, though. If you do get into the quarterfinals, the semifinals, you're unlikely to face a team that's going to sit in a low block for 90 minutes. And if you don't score early, which is the case in pretty much all of these group stage games, if you don't score early, you're going to struggle to break a team down. And they had opportunities. They did have Ghana under the cosh a lot there in the first half, which admittedly I was paying more attention to than the second half. But at the same time, Ghana never really looked like they were on the ropes at any point in the game.
I will point to this game at the end of the tournament when everyone inevitably talks about how great the tournament was and how we didn't get many bad games. I will point to this game as
a bad game.
This was a bad game.
Yeah. See, look, you're right, but obviously because it's England, there's so many things to enjoy about those bad games.
True.
The English media losing their mind. The fans seem to have been relatively well behaved, am I right? There hasn't been much.
I haven't seen anything.
No.
Yeah. Fair play to you, not going completely crazy.
It's nothing to celebrate, yeah. Bare minimum, really, not to get arrested.
It's quite a lot to celebrate. It's like a massive improvement on everything we've ever seen before. Like, oh, taking the lead out of the petrol has really improved the brain power of the England fans.
The Dubliner pub, which was on the news for running out of beer for the Scotland fans, they just so happened to be closed yesterday for the England game to restock.
Wow, that's a lot of money to turn down from fear of a rampage.
Well,
maybe it's just knowledge, is it?
Mm.
Could be it. There was also a big result yesterday, Ger, in the World Cup, and a big man scored a goal for Portugal.
Off goes Cancelo, delivering the cross! Ronaldo! Just look at his face! Aggression, delight, sue!
So that's 56-year-old Darren Fletcher doing the sue there on commentary.
You're killing Darren Fletcher, right?
Celebration piece.
Yeah, a little bit, right? Yeah. Like, he presumably thought he was never going to see this remarkable, important, historic thing, Ronaldo doing a sue. And he got carried away in the moment and he did it, like the whole everybody around him.
Yeah.
Is he not the bellwether of the very public? Is this not him being in the moment?
Look, maybe he's just doing what I've... Maybe he's just doing what I have complained
that celebrating
the commentator.
Still not as good as Messi.
He's still not as good
first
as Messi.
First goal in 10 tournament games. Who does he think he is?
Yeah, maybe Darren Fletcher's just doing what I've said commentators should do and call what's happening. He's just telling us what he's happened. Yeah. He's not celebrating. Yeah. He's just telling us. Yeah. He's,
say what you
he's
see.
Doing the suit. Mm. Say what you see.
Say what you see.
It's like catchphrase.
Big goal for Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Off the mark.
Great goal.
Finally shut up those haters. Did Ronaldo.
Something in the air that suits him better. Where was that game? Was that the Dallas game? Was that the Houston game?
That was Houston last night. Houston. Yeah, I think it was, yeah. One of them was in Houston. Maybe.
It's like, yeah.
Because I can see the banner on the side of the pitch with the word, but I think it was that game. Joking aside, though, the finish for the first goal is brilliant, and the finish for the second goal is equally brilliant. But again, playing against Uzbekistan, I said this yesterday, if he went and scored a hat-trick last night, people would say, oh, that was against Uzbekistan.
Yeah.
And if he went and did nothing against Uzbekistan, it was like, oh, you can't do anything against Uzbekistan. So they were absolutely tragic, in all honesty. I didn't think they were actually as bad as that, because from what I saw at the Colombia game, they
looked all right.
They looked all right, but they didn't look all right yesterday.
He made a lot of changes.
Yeah, he changed the keeper as well.
Yeah. He was a goalkeeper and he looked shaky.
That guy's better than the other guy, is he? Okay.
Well, it didn't really shut up anybody, because we'll play a little bit of Ronaldo here, and obviously he's speaking in Portuguese here to the press, but he was basically just continuously asked after the match about other players, which was quite funny.
Obrigado. Fez o que fez hoje. O Messi também consegue hat-trick, consegue fazer uma falta. O que é que isto diz sobre
ele? He walks away. So just for the radio listeners who were listening on DAB in the cars this morning.
Yeah, so for the context of this, so some of the questions...
Non-Portuguese speakers amongst.
Some of the questions he was asked were about Messi. Some of them were about Haaland. Some of them were about goal scorers at this World Cup. And essentially what he's saying is, during this altercation with the media, is when things go wrong, Cristiano is old and retired. I'm already used to it. Mbappe, Messi, Haaland, I'm always here. Sooner or later, I'm always here. And then as he's walking away... I think there was the last question, it was from a Mexican journalist, asks him once again about Messi scoring, and he walks away and he says, I couldn't care less about others. Mbappe also scored. I think he cares.
It's probably driven him on to be the footballer he is in many ways, that chippiness.
I think he cares, but I think he's every right to, you know, get on his bike after a while. Yeah, he answered the questions that were asked about some players before. You're going to keep asking him. Eventually, he's going to be like, oh, here, I'm gone. Like, do you know? I get why they do it. Everyone wants the same soundbite. Those sort of...
Yeah, it's a mix zone,
Mix zones are
That is remarkable, the fact that he's in the mix zone. Why? So he's the captain.
Yeah.
He would have done a press conference.
He did the on-pitch interviews as well after the game. I don't know, maybe they just put him off for everything. Maybe he wanted to do it because
that's
he scored two goals.
No, but there's a sit-down. Maybe it's only the manager. Maybe I'm mixing this up with rugby. The manager only in the press conference, captain, it does mix zones.
I think my experience with mixed zones is that basically you can get anybody. Like, they're just walking past and you're just asking, will you stop?
Yeah.
As they're going, because you have to walk between the mix zone and the dressing room. So it's up to the players whether they want to stop. Sometimes you will get presented with players who are sent out to the mix zone as a thank you to the media, or like, here you go, there's what we're providing you with.
But that's my experience
in international, it depends how they do them, is players are just like, walking past and you
in
just
rugby, for example,
flag them down.
Caelan Doris sits beside Andy Farrell in the Ireland thing. Yeah. I actually haven't seen what the GAA stuff is in Croker. Is it just the manager who comes, or is it manager
and
captain?
Yeah, it's just the manager. Last weekend was just McGuinness and Brennan, There was no players with them.
That was in Croker?
That was in Croker, yeah.
Okay, right.
It's a little bit different. So I know some of the other league, I know Andy Moran has sat down with a few different players at different times.
If you remember Nathan Murphy becoming best friends with Seamus Coleman over the last couple of years, because he was just walking past and he knows Nathan, so he would stop. So sometimes that does happen. And it's the same with Mo Salah. Why did Mo Salah go out and do
Salah
that extraordinary?
It, my point is that Ronaldo's the captain. I thought there would have been something more formal for that, but obviously there isn't. So, sorry, go on.
But yeah.
He probably wanted to do it though, off the back
of course,
regretted his decision, obviously.
There's a reason we're seeing Ronaldo doing these. He's not doing it because he didn't score again. He's doing it because he scored.
Did he break Eusebio's record? Was that the other
one?
Eusebio,
I believe, only played a one World Cup.
Look, the record's the record. You can only beat what's put in front of you, Enda. only doing a goal, I've been paying some attention to that. When Cork showed up, ah, whatever. Play somebody else next week, won't we?
What does that have to do with the price of bread?
Yeah. No, he did break his... That is a pretty big thing. You know, Ronaldo likes his records and he broke on the record.
We did speak about this.
I was happy enough to see him score a couple of goals. Yeah. I think it's been spoken about a lot. All the stars are shining and, you know, it would be a bit of a shame, in my opinion, if one of the best players, top two best players of my lifetime anyway, decided not to shine while everyone else was.
It was 9 goals.
I saw that there, yeah.
66, like, what?
Yeah.
Did he score 5 against North Korea?
I was looking at the breakdown yesterday, Juice Fontaine's 13 in the one tournament, and it's actually a fairly even split. Like, he scores like 3 in a game, 2 in a game. It's not like he scored 7 in one of them. It was like 3s and 2s. He scored 4 in one. Yeah. And they went out in the semi-final.
To Brazil.
Yeah. Crazy.
I think they give Brazil a game as well, whereas Sweden obviously got hockey by them.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Finished like 4-2 or 5-2 maybe or something. Scored a couple. Something like that, I think.
There is like an awful old 90s... 80s history of the Pele's 3 World Cups, where there's footage of that 58 World Cup where it's like Didi, Garrincha and Pele. And it's like, there's a great book on Garrincha if you're into your Brazil.
Garrincha had a wild life.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it is good that Ronaldo's scoring at the World Cup. Like, I'm not going to say it's not. It makes things interesting. But
well, it made things really interesting in advance of Harry Kane, and then something happened to him.
Well,
Matthew's freaked out. We couldn't get him into the studio. Like, he's called a cat this morning. I'm not talking about this.
Well, I don't know. Things didn't really work out. Maybe Uri Geller's counter curse worked in the way that he wanted it to, because...
Maybe Uri Geller's a grifter.
What?
Who knew?
Uri Geller.
Who knows?
I don't have to say.
Couldn't fix the Mayo curse anyway. That time we tried to get that.
Well, there you go. Yeah,
he couldn't. He the witch doctor. He tried his best to stop Harry Kane. He did stop Harry Kane. What he couldn't really stop was VAR, because I don't know if you saw it, but Gana should have had a penalty.
Should have, yeah. 100%.
Absolutely should have had a penalty. And the Ghanaian manager Carlos Queiroz, you might be familiar. He had a theory about what happened with this VAR decision.
That they need to give to Ghana clear penalty. VAR went for a coffee, and it's natural. I would like them also take my coffees once in a while. But it was a clear penalty. Clear penalty, red card. You have any doubts about that? You guys that you saw the game, have any doubts about that? Or is only me that I was in the game? Sorry for my sarcasm, but if I say these kind of things serious, they punish me. So I hope you understand that I am joking.
In case you can't tell, I'm being sarcastic.
Something very, I don't know, like movie villain about the way Carlos Queiroz speaks. He's a staple in the World Cup, isn't he? He's just always thereabouts on those Iran teams.
Between him and Harvey Renard.
Yeah.
Always going to be there. But I mean, that...
So just again, I'd say everybody's seen it at this stage, but Konsa leaves the ground.
Yeah. Okay.
Flying
jump. He's airborne, yeah.
Ezri Konsa is one of my own.
Yeah.
But,
that's Stonewall Belgium.
If you did that in the Premier League game, you'd be like, that's a 3-game ban, probably. Because it's reckless, it's out of control.
At the very least, it's a foul. At the very least.
Yeah.
They did say it, they looked at it, but it didn't seem to last very long, the VAR check.
VAR checks have been quicker at this World Cup. I think it's
better or worse.
Something that has been implemented strategically by FIFA for this, to have VAR sort of stand back and not be the centre stage, which I don't think anybody can have any complaints about.
Until they get something wrong like that.
Yeah, well, they do have to make up the time somehow for the 6 minutes they're deciding to take for hydration breaks, when in the game in the first half last night there was an injury.
They had
someone
their
went
hydration.
Down and they all went and had a hydration and a tactical break, and then about 3 minutes later, the referee said...
One.
Off you go again. Well,
I think this is where I'm at my breaking point with the hydration break.
It was also
couldn't care less that they're happening.
It was like
in general, but why are they not happening if there's a natural stoppage in play?
It was 19 just, degrees. They said it in on commentary.
Well, that, like, not that we needed it confirmed, but that confirmed that what the hydration breaks are actually for. They needed their ad break. That's all that was.
Mm.
Because they had their 2 minutes there to get water on board.
I was listening to the Tom Brady Stick to Football episode this morning. I don't know if you've seen the one with
I saw he was on it, but I didn't watch it yet.
There's some interesting bits in it. One thing that they were speaking about, the lads, Gary Neville and Keane, and right, they'd gone to a Yankees game the night before, and they were essentially like, God, baseball's slow, isn't it? Slow. Like, they're basically calling it shite, but they were like, it's slow. And Tom Brady was like, yeah, it's really slow. It's really slow, but, I mean, would you rather, like, where do you have to go? Because he started talking about, like, NFL, VAR came into the decision, and Tom Brady's very much of the opinion that you should get things right rather than try to speed things up. And Keane saying, well, you know, British people are sort of used to speed and having things done in an efficient way, and like kind of.
That's what he said.
He did say British people. Oh, he wasn't talking about himself. He was saying in Britain.
Was he saying Elon or?
You guys, not me.
No, I think he's talking about the British game.
These lads.
English football.
The clowns I'm surrounded by.
The noise.
He's saying, you know, we're used to speed and things being done quickly. And Brady turns around and was like, would you rather it done quickly or done right? To which Keane can't really have. He's like, well, fair enough.
I'd rather it done quickly, to be honest. I think on the balance of it, I would rather it done. I think if it's applied the same all round, I'd rather it not interrupt the flow of a game.
But if that's Ireland England last night and they get that penalty decision wrong, then you feel like
you get what you get. You don't get upset, you know.
Would you be that rational?
See, that's my kids all the time.
Yeah.
Is that where you got it from?
No, I don't know where I got it from. I say it regularly enough, but I don't know where it came from. I got it from you. You're just saying it to me all the time. Yeah. No, you wouldn't be rational in the moment, of course not, when it directly affects you. But yeah. I think, you know, with a bit of hindsight, you can say, look, listen.
In the grand scheme of things, you'd want a bit of speed to it, but that's not.
And was Brady interesting?
Really interesting.
Yeah.
And I don't often find him
appealing
as a... Yeah. As a guest, sometimes he's a bit strange.
Mm.
He's a bit strange. But
weird,
I guess
guy.
You kind of have to be to
he was
get to
out,
that level.
Somebody was talking about the Scotty Scheffler thing. He was giving out about Scotty putting parenting ahead of winning. He was like, be a good role model, be a winner.
Didn't see that.
Well, yeah, you definitely get the old school mindset off him. He was speaking about head injuries in the NFL and basically the changes and saying that, you know, the players get into these situations because they know the risks and that the onus should be on the offensive team to protect their offensive players, not on the defensive team to avoid contact with the offensive team, if you know what he's saying. Not sure I totally disagree with him, but also CTE is such a massive issue in the NFL. I'm not sure you can really argue with the science behind it now.
The impact of the brain injuries on players is pretty horrific, and I guess maybe if you've been involved in this, you never really fully make peace with the fact that you've rolled the roulette wheel and at some point the ball is going to land and you kind of needed to land on zero to be safe.
Yeah, he got pretty good in his career of throwing it low to his receivers, didn't he? Towards the end that he was like protecting them to an extent from oncoming defenders. But
yeah, his main point was that players are now getting fined and they're getting flagged if the player with the ball ducks his head 4 inches and then gets contact with the tackle. That's kind of his main point, is that it shouldn't be on the defender to worry about that and slow his tackle down.
Yeah.
Just in case the offensive player might dip, because that's not really their fault. That was kind of his overarching point.
If you do dip, it's still the defender's fault because you're supposed to anticipate it.
Exactly, yeah. That's kind of his point. He's saying that the defensive players have had to slow their tackling down as a result of that, and he doesn't really agree with it. He did name check Gronk as an example of somebody who plays on the physical edge and knew the risks.
Was there another tight end they had who played with Gronk at the same time?
Yeah.
You know, maybe things didn't end up so
well. This is what I mean. Like, he's saying it now, but how is he going to feel if Gronk, who's one of his best friends throughout his career, ends up with CTE in 5 years' time?
Or there is some suspicion that Aaron Hernandez had it, and that might have been part of the...
That's a really good
reason for him going off the rails.
Documentary or whatever you call it. I watched that a long time ago. I wouldn't have any interest in the NFL really at all, but I watched that a while ago. It was fascinating.
It's a brilliant podcast series as well.
Is it, yeah?
If you were into it, it was like, was it multi-part or was it?
Yeah, it was three parts. Yeah, right. It was three parts. Yeah. I think it was three parts. Yeah.
It's three. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Bod was on Off the Ball last night, Chair.
Yeah.
Some interesting stuff about James Lowe and his contract. And we kind of spoke about it in depth. We don't need to go too much into the actual James Lowe situation, but Brian O'Driscoll saying on Off the Ball last night that him leaving may have been preventable by an outside source.
I won't mention any names, but I had someone call me 3 weeks ago saying, I don't want very successful businessman. I don't want any credit. I don't want my name associated with it, but we need to make sure that James Lowe stays in Ireland, and I'm more than happy to try and make up the difference. And I believe that he wasn't the only one that that offered that. But unfortunately, the horse had bolted at that stage.
Oh, wow. And like, do you relay this? Are you an intermediary in the situation? You relay it to Leinster?
I did.
What did they say?
I can't really get into that, you know. So, but I can only tell you from what happened, kind of me point of view. But I first of all, it just shows the popularity and the kind of generic understanding that James Lowe has been brilliant for Ireland. You know, for coming in as a project player. He's a firm fan favourite. He's kind of really taken to heart playing, okay, it's not his national team, but it's meant a hell of a lot for him playing for Ireland. He's, you know, had his family here, he's set up home here, and then all of a sudden that's all gone, and now he's off to Japan, and people felt that's not right.
Yeah. It's mad they were unable to access that. Like,
yeah. I love that Bod was like, when Owen asked him, did he relay that information? He was like, I did my part. My due diligence is done.
Yeah.
Yeah. I suppose he said there that it was too late in the day to make a difference, which means he'd probably already signed a contract in Japan potentially. It speaks to the impact that James has had on people here, in that a fan of a certain wealth, obviously, but a fan nonetheless feels so touched by his contribution to Irish rugby that he's willing to dip into his own pocket to keep him here. It's a bit like, remember when we find out that you had World Cup tickets waiting for you when you were World Cup tickets,
after the qualifier tickets. Game, yeah.
But it's just too late. It's just a couple of days too late.
How do you feel about that now?
I missed that story. What was that?
Always think about
it. I checked the email weeks later, the info, don't email info at Off the Ball. I checked weeks later, it's like, Matthew had been on in his epic journey to get to Prague.
Prague, yeah.
And did the morning show from Prague, going, no, I've no tickets, I'm in the pub though.
Yeah.
This could be worse.
Yeah.
And we got an email going, here, I have a spare. You'd have to sit beside me, but I have a spare.
That's
and
mad.
2 weeks later, we read it out.
Yeah.
Like, oh, great. Thanks.
Probably happier in the aftermath now?
No.
What about face value?
Yeah. I'll never let that down, Jer.
It could be worse.
I'll just never forgive you. Maybe we'll stick info at Off the Ball as a direct.
Yeah.
re-diverse to Matthew. It's like,
oh. Yeah. Now I have to look after
careful what you wish for.
I have to look after that email now. Yeah.
Genuinely, it could be worse.
It could always be worse.
Told you the story of my Scottish Cup final exploits?
No, but I want to hear
years
about
ago. So Celtic were drawn against.
Is this the one they lose on penalties?
No, it's the one that Adam Ida scored the 90 plus 6 minute winner. So Celtic against Rangers Scottish Cup final, first time in 20 years that it happens, which is, it's outrageous that that is the case, but they often tend to meet in the semi final. People who don't know me, I'm a Celtic fan. People who do know me will know that I also ran a Celtic podcast for years. So
yeah,
this was a big deal. And I was searching high and low for tickets, got tickets the night before, got a last minute flight over to Glasgow, last minute hotel. So everything cost a little bit more than it should have, obviously. Go to pick up my tickets from the guy at the stadium. And Hampden Park is the same as Wembley on Cup Final Day. So you've got Celtic fans one end, Rangers fans another end. And I looked at my ticket and my gate was on the first gate to the left on the Rangers side.
Oh. And you had all your Celtic club on.
I didn't have any Celtic gear on me specifically because it's not really advisable to do that on a derby day anyway. But I went in, me and my mate, he had a Celtic scarf, so he zipped up his jacket tightly. We went in, we're like, we'll go in, we'll see where we are. If we're in around the middle, that's kind of corporate-y anyway. We're picking our tickets up from a kind of corporate-y guy. Maybe they're in the corporate zone. We might be okay. We get in.
Front sandwich brigade.
For context of this as well, the Bears, which is the Rangers ultra group, they were going around Glasgow the morning of attacking some of the Irish pubs. So that's the context of what's going on.
Not Cuddly Bears.
Not Cuddly Bears. So the Union Bears are called.
Teddy Bears.
We get into the stadium and our tickets are in the top left corner, right beside the Union Bears.
The Union Bears is a crazy name. Union Bears, sorry, but you're up with the Union Bears.
So we didn't stay.
Did you not?
We didn't stay.
No, we went out of the stadium. Our biggest mistake was actually going into the stadium, right? Because once we went out of the stadium, we tried to go down into the hallway, see if we can get into the other side, talk our way, blag our way, no way, no chance. Derby day, not going to happen. We went out of the stadium, went up to the Celtic liaison officers. There was nothing they could do. If we didn't go in, we could have just scanned our tickets on the other side just chanced our luck in getting a seat or getting standing and just being in with the Celtic fans anyway, but we couldn't get back into the stadium as a result. It is a good thing that we didn't because Rangers scored first. So if you're in the middle of the Rangers fans and you're not celebrating that Rangers goal, something's off. Then Adam Eda scores a 90-plus six-minute winner to win the Scottish Cup.
And you wouldn't have been able to celebrate.
How would I not have been able to celebrate that? You know,
celebrate, but you get battered.
Yeah, we went to a Celtic heavy pub in the Gorbals instead.
All right.
Still a fun day out and a good story.
Is the Gorbals not a Rangers area?
There are certain parts, but where this pub in particular is.
Like Little Islands, very little oasis.
Very much a Celtic.
Little oasis.
But like James Lowe, that all came from James Lowe. I don't think it's a thing of, I genuinely believe that, you know, Leinster probably wouldn't have been able to do anything at that point, that it was a bit too far gone.
The only thing is, you shake every tree. As an organisation, you need to be seen to be doing everything you possibly can. Is there anybody out there who might want to help us?
We don't know if they didn't, to be fair.
In that case, they turned it down. Do you know what I mean? I suppose there are friends who will help in times of need.
Yeah.
How would that have worked?
You have to ask.
Logistically, how would that have worked? Would he have brought him on as a staff member of his company and made up the difference that way? Like, can he provide Leinster with money to do this? Or how would that have worked?
Your man just make a charitable donation.
It's not charity.
I know it's not charity, but essentially that, where there's no tangible gain for him here. He's just giving Leinster money to give James Lowe money. Is that what it is?
Yeah, so...
Can you do that?
Yes. What happens is you write a contract with James Lowe and you're contracted to pay him X amount of money over a certain period of time and he is, whatever, freelancing for you, doing...
For this...
Doing appearances, Maria, and that's it. There's nothing else.
So how does the money go from this businessman to Leinster?
It doesn't go to Leinster.
It just goes to James Lowe.
Yeah, or maybe Leinster are intermediaries and they come up with some kind of way of doing it. But it's actually easier just to pay him straight.
It seems a bit weird. Maybe it's the done thing.
It does happen in UCD a lot. I know the athletics track, which is actually right beside Leinster HQ there.
It was an anonymous donor.
That was a donor, yeah. So someone just wanted to donate money.
In the Ciara McGeehan stuff during the week where... She was at the UCD Awards and had won an award after the track had been ripped up and she let them have it. She let the dean have it who was there thinking, this is going to be a nice easy night for me. I'm going to show up and get my photograph taken with all the incredible athletes who represent the university. And she stood up and went, this is absolutely ridiculous. You guys don't care about us at all.
Yeah, well, like a lot of, like Alatunde would have came to UCD because they were promised a new track and Darren McElhenney and a few other athletes, Sarah Healy, probably another one. They were all signed scholarships on the promise that there was a brand new track coming in their first or second year.
And we never found out who...
It wasn't built for 4 years.
We never found out who paid for it in the end.
No, it was completely anonymous, yeah. Okay. But...
Is that not a little bit different, though, than...
It's slightly different than that. It's not for an athlete,
You're paying a specific person money so that they stay at a team.
But as in, it's just something that happens in that part of the world. Do you know what I mean?
It's like, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It just seems a bit odd. I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it is just normal. I don't know.
It happens quite a bit in GAA. People will know.
No, it doesn't. We're not naming any names or
I don't mean in the case of like paying individuals. I mean in terms of managers and teams and
I'll just do it for the love of the game.
County board members heading off to the States to hit up a few rich friends and have a few gala dinners to pay for the
again. We're not
training
to
and the
any
food.
Counties because they'll sue us again.
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 Yeah.
While we're on the subject of athletics, we should probably mention that Phil Healy, two-time Olympian, retired yesterday.
Friend of the show as well. She's had such an interesting career in that she's struggled with so many kind of different conditions and injuries. Her latest was she dislocated her shoulder after a race, was it Nationals last year maybe, putting her T-shirt on after the race. So she's just had a pretty tough time of things, and she had a, I don't want to label the condition wrong, but some sort of illness over the last few years that's really affected her form. And
Hashimoto's,
Disease, yeah. And but when she went on form, geez, she was such a quality runner, and obviously a big cog in that, in the renaissance of the relay for Ireland. And yeah, she's only, what is she now? She's
31.
31, like, so very early to be retiring. But as they say, she's had a tough time with injuries and different things. So makes sense. We'll have her on the show, I'm sure, for next week or so to chat about that, hopefully.
Get that in bids.
Tis already, yeah.
All right.
You made sure of that before you said it, yeah.
An incredible career and some very special moments. I'm right in saying she's the Depths of Hell commentary from Carl Denny back in the day, which is iconic in itself.
Yeah, it's brilliant, yeah.
And then the relay, just the joy of the relay team. The mixed relay in particular, kind of, this wasn't really a thing that we were ever going to be good at. And suddenly we're world class at it because we have depth. And Phil Healy brought that depth and has inspired many of the people coming after her to be even better than to break her records and to beat her and to stop her being Irish champion. You had to be really good. And a lot of people are really good as a result of being driven by standards like hers. And every time you talk to her, you come away feeling pretty positive about life, which is another gift.
Yeah.
And she's very much the leader of that quartet, even though they wouldn't be together that much outside the races, but, you know, being the oldest and the most experienced, she was very much the spiritual leader amongst them. So, sad news, but yeah, again, great career.
Yeah, seems a great character, doesn't she?
Yeah.
She's brilliant,
bubbly and positive, yeah.
And hopefully stays involved in coaching or certainly, at the very least, punditry. But
yeah.
Toe in the water.
William said that in the comments. He reckons that she'd be a great coach, which I can see.
100%.
Do you want to do some papers? I don't have an examiner, and I don't have, if there's anybody out there who could get me an Olindo. that'd be great.
So, before you do papers, there's one thing, I might be in it, about the Ronaldo to Portugal game. Obviously, Nuno Mendes scores the free kick where it looks like Ronaldo was going to go and stitch it, as he always does, and stitch it into the wall or over the bar, as has been the case in recent times. He obviously didn't do that. Nuno Mendes took it and scored. And they kind of played on the thing of Ronaldo takes every set piece, no matter where it is, no matter what the angle, no matter how far it out, it is out, and he scored. And then later on in the game, they're 3-0 up at this point, and they get a free kick. And akin to, I don't know if this will trigger out in anyone's head, when Man United played Manchester City years ago, and Anthony Martial scored a goal that Bruno Fernandes just clipped it up over the wall. The team weren't expecting it. The City defence were kind of standing there, and Martial meets it on the volley and scores. Similar thing to that, where Ronaldo lines up to take this free kick that's about 35 yards out and just kind of jogs by it and is jogging directly towards the Uzbekistani wall or whatever. What's a group of Uzbekistan?
The Uzbeki wall.
And jogs on by them, and Fernandes shapes the shoot, clips it over, falls to Ronaldo on the edge of the box, penalty spot. Gets the shot off, gets clattered, doesn't go in. But a very good move. Same with a corner. Did a corner a couple of minutes later.
Who's the mastermind behind all this?
Who's the mastermind? Your
Austin
good friend.
Austin McPhee.
Yeah,
none of the credit. After the Mendes goal, I'm like, where's McPhee? He should be in the centre circle. Ronaldo should be coming to him.
Yeah. Now, my only thing with it, right, and they were all brilliant moves, brilliant ideas, very clever stuff. Why are you wasting them on Uzbekistan? Now everyone's going to be hyper aware of them.
Now Ronaldo's just going to take every free kick from now on. It's like,
Oh, look,
and then
you,
maybe it's a master plan. He starts scoring and the keeper dives late and he just puts it on target and it goes in. I don't know, but I just thought it was a little bit odd. The Nuno Mendes one, I get the game is, what was it, 1-0 at that point. That's a second goal. It's a very important game for Portugal. If they don't get over the line and they're in serious bother, I get that. But to go and waste the... waste is a silly phrase. I'm sure they've got loads more in their locker, but I just think there's... I don't know, there might be more pressing times where they might need to do something like that again.
In my mind, I was like, and you said that earlier, I was like, sure, you don't use that in high pressure situations, but maybe you do, because remember the Weghorst goal just against Argentina was very similar to that. And even like, the Philly play they did in that Super Bowl?
Yes, Super Bowl.
The Eagles, that play, like, where it's the most ridiculous decision to play it like that, but they did. And you kind of think like, we have an Indo there, don't we? Like, you don't do that in the big games, but maybe you do.
Yeah, no, you do.
Because it's the last thing people expect.
For sure. That is why the Weghorst thing worked so perfectly in that what was it, the quarterfinal that time last, the last World Cup? Yeah, and it was 2-1.
Yeah.
And this is literally last kick of the game. And you kind of have to do something clever because the whole wall is there. You got a big guy in goal. You have to try something. And they tried and it worked. But that's why I would say now that, okay, we know Portugal are capable of doing this. Is that you can't do the exact same thing again because they're going to be aware of it. But at the same time, if Nuno Mendes is 25 yards out and he leathers a free kick into the bottom corner, it doesn't really matter whether you know he's going to do it or not.
I think the other thing is it's early in the tournament and they'd had a very difficult opening day where people were at them. Now suddenly everybody's like, oh, this guy's, he's actually legitimately a bit of a genius. Mm. So if he says we're going to do this thing, it's worked twice already, let's keep going with it.
It's a fair point, yeah. You know, and suddenly there's a team there, yeah.
Because like, all you need is a team to catch fire for 4 or 5 games and suddenly you're in a semi-final final and then like all bets are off.
Yeah.
Like the goal that Uzbekistan scored just before it, there's this unbelievable bit of Vitinha skill where he's like floating like a butterfly, and then obviously there's a pass laid off and your man, there is a foul in the build up to it, but they're just on the verge of being really brilliant.
I was very impressed by them yesterday, regardless of how poor Uzbekistan were and how they were kind of architects of their own downfall to a degree. I did think Portugal looked very good, and they are the type of team that in recent times have actually looked a little bit better against the good teams too. I know it's the Nations League and you can read it into it whatever you like, but did a big win against Germany in that, did a big win against Spain in the final, and they have a midfield there that enables them to play how they want to play against anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? It's not a case of when they go up against France or they go up against England that they're going to have to change exactly what they do. If anything, they might even progress further. It's just the attack you would worry about ever so slightly. But Rafael Leão looked good when he came on. João Félix looked promising in the first half. So they do have the talent there, but it's just whether they can piece it all together.
Well, we're going to potentially get the blockbuster clash that everyone wants, and that's Messi Ronaldo at this World Cup. Looks like Portugal have a fair chance of getting Argentina, either in the quarterfinals. If they both win their groups, they could be in the quarterfinals together. If they both finish second, they'll meet in the last 16.
It's a massive amount of changes still to come, though, right?
No, if they both win their group and then win their knockout games, they'll play in the quarterfinals. But Portugal will have to beat Colombia, which will be a tough ask. Yeah,
for the quarterfinal meet, they both need to finish top. So nothing changes in that aspect.
Yeah, if they both finish second, it might change around a bit, I think. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but chances are, like, we have as good a chance as ever to see Messi, Ronaldo, World Cup, and the last dance of the two of them. I can't wait for the god-awful build-up to that game.
That'll be class.
It'd be unbelievable, wouldn't it? Not that it really matters. They're both at the end of their careers. Yeah. It's like, whatever. Like, it definitely matters probably more for Ronaldo's legacy than it does for Messi's, but at the same time, what an occasion.
Football deserves it.
Oh my God, yeah.
One of those, that game though, it has the potential for both of them to be absolutely putrid, right? Yeah. But it also genuinely does have the chances of both of them going toe-to-toe and it's just being like, like the heavyweight boxers that finally meet after 10 years despite, and they just give it all, like, you know?
Yeah, that'd be exciting.
It is a Hollywood World Cup so far, so you would be kind of almost expecting that it will happen. Headlines for you from this morning. Davis, GAA at a critical fork in the road. So this is two-time All-Ireland Cork Gaelic footballer Tony Davis, a former Sunday game analyst in his day as well. Very concerned about the direction of travel when it comes to the GAA. He thinks that players are going to seek a bigger share of the massive income that is coming. Inter-county related income alone. So that doesn't include a lot of the other income that they get from, say, the stadium, etc., was 67 million and the hotels. It's going to be very interesting to see when people start copping on just how much revenue the GAA makes on an annual basis. And where the money goes. I think that's one of the next big stories is going to start getting a bit of focus. It's going to come a point for the GAA when they're going to have to decide what's commercial and what's voluntary and what's good for the overall balance of the whole thing. He says, I don't think that debate has taken place yet. It's fine owning a product, but what's better for the organisation? What's better for everybody involved in the GAA? When that debate does take place, I can see the players jumping up and down saying, hey, we're doing this for nothing. Everyone is paying for this product and we're the only ones really not getting money. I can see it. So the role of the GPA in this is the money rolls in massive amounts. Looks like it's going to be a sellout for the Dubs game on Sunday in Croker. Saturday games are going to be obviously on GA Plus. Revenue through the roof. And the players getting a smaller cut than they do in any other professional sport. Kieran McGean also, talking to Carl Dennehy, says, on Israel, it's too easy to stay quiet and not speak out. It's ridiculous. I think the governments the world over should be imposing sanctions on countries that are committing genocide. We've seen it in our sport with Russia. And then she goes on to say about the football, for example. This is the hard thing. It's not against the athletes. It's very prominent in Ireland right now with the football. And the decision should have been at the organisational side of that sport. That's where it should have come from. And then it should come to our door and our country should speak up. Because the Irish have always been strong advocates for justice throughout the world. And we need to be that example. I just ask people, where's their humanity? And obviously Leo Messi on the back of that as well. Sorry, there's one thing there. Just haven't read the full piece of this yet. Just scanning it there. But John Fogarty talking about Jim McGuinness and how it's difficult to buy some of McGuinness's musings. I don't want to take away from Dublin in the same way I don't want to take away from Down, but there's no real training going on. That's the reality. I don't think there's any real training going on in any county. You're trying to manage it and have enough fella to arrive at this stage. People are just being managed, getting a wee bit done here and there. You just don't know where you stand. That's what McGuinness said. John Fogarty points out, Donegal had 4 weeks, including a training camp in Portugal between the Division 1 final over Kerry in March and losing a home Ulster quarterfinal to Down in late April. Then they had 3 weeks after beating Kerry again before losing a home All-Ireland Round 2A game to Cork. So the week's turnaround to the Dublin game aside, McGuinness' argument doesn't stack up, he's pointing out.
Yeah, we were chatting about that yesterday, actually, in the power rankings, about Armagh having played, I think, 7 games in 11 weeks or something, and Westmeath had played 7 games in 13 weeks, and both of those counties had a couple of extra times in there as well. Now, that's their own doing, to be fair, but there is a... There's counties who have had it a lot tougher as far as the schedule goes than Donegal have had and have achieved more. So have actually kind of been punished in a weird sense. I know you're...
They're a bit for success.
Yeah, and you know, your provincial medal, it should not be kind of seen as something that is not a reward, because of course it is. But in the grand scheme of the All-Ireland series, which is inevitably what the year will be judged on for the likes of Donegal and Armagh, you are being punished for success.
So start the season with the provincials, right? And then have the league and make the league feed the All-Ireland series. And the start of the year would actually be great. Everybody like, oh, we're starved of inter-county football and it's local and it's knockout straight from the start. Valentine's Day.
I'd just be worried.
That the issue with the Sigerson as well.
Well, so Sigerson finishes by Valentine's Day. So yeah. Valentine's Day, that weekend, finishes Paddy's Day, provincial finals of Paddy's Day. And then you get into a league, 4 divisions, Divisions 3 and 4, you're Talchin, Divisions 1 and 2, you're Sam Maguire.
I'd just be worried that the provincials will lose their gravitas. But
it's up to us to...
I know. Yeah, I probably haven't thought about it enough, but maybe that does work. Maybe
there is one alternative, and that is sticking to the format that we're all agreeing has led to one of the best All-Irelands.
The one at the moment?
Yeah. It's been an unbelievable season. Why are we messing with it?
Well, because Jim McGuinness is unhappy. And it's totally unfair that the lads are playing 8 games and getting knocked out, and there's teams who played 4 games and they're through to the quarterfinals.
Throne have played 3.
I guess that's a good situation to be in, right?
Yeah. Great situation to be in. Yeah.
It doesn't need to be uprooted, though, I don't think.
There is consensus on the game last night. Yawn in the USA is the headline on both the Star and the Mail this morning.
I saw one that said, Ghana be all right.
Okay.
It's not bad. Obviously because they played Ghana.
Yeah, got it, yeah.
and they weren't bad. So it works. Boston Z party. You have to say Z. Can't say Z.
Oh, yeah, because it doesn't work then.
No.
Boston Tea Party.
Boston Tea Party.
There you go.
Well done, Matthew. Well, you know your history.
I do.
Yeah.
Give us a bit of the history.
Yeah, account of it.
Part of history. Go on.
No, I don't.
What happened? They all drank a bit of tea.
No, it is all the tea fell into the water, didn't it, or something?
Well, didn't fall.
Yeah. this is how modern media is like, fell into at the dock.
Yeah, so it was. It was down with the water, wasn't it, yeah?
That's what the headline would be.
It dumped it, yeah. That's it, yeah. So it fell in through force.
True intent, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know how many goals there's been at the World Cup this year? Sorry, that's why I was kind of zoned out of that conversation with GA.
We were like, I was provoking Mr. Dundee Gaul here, and he's like, no, I haven't none of it. All right, thanks, Andrew.
I was doing the calculations. It was because people in the group chat have been talking about the top goal-scoring group, which is it's Germany. The Germany group.
They scored seven against Curacao.
Yeah.
So there have been 141 goals so far in this tournament, which is... That's quite a substantial amount, considering we were debating how many there would be. And the last World Cup had 2.6 goals per game. We were kind of thinking that if we were on that route, we were probably looking in the high 200s for this. So given that we have some group games left to play, the last 32, last 16 quarterfinals, semifinals, final.
Yeah, the extra rounds.
We're well on course to have over 300 goals.
Yeah. You would imagine games will be more even, though, obviously, in the knockout stages. You won't have your Germany scoring seven goals against Curacao.
You're going to get some weird things happening in these last round of group games as well, as far as...
It's a nil-all Algeria, Austria.
Yeah, all over again. But there is reason for one to win, I think. There's like...
I think if you win, you get Spain.
Yeah, if you lose, you're all right then, isn't it?
Yeah,
true.
So
that's some reward, yeah.
To both going to be trying to lose.
12, all right. 11. 16 minutes past 8. If you want to get in touch, 087-9180-180 is the WhatsApp number. The Breakfast Buffet is coming your way at 9:15. It's not too late to send us an email.
It's not. Breakfast at offtheball.com.
Oh, right, that's a good one. Yeah. And who does that go to? Matthew.
Go straight to me and right, Matthew and Matthew. Darren.
Matthew.
We all get it.
Maybe check it. That's just if anybody's any tickets for games that you might want to zip. So Matthew, you can breakfast at offtheball.com.
I'll earn quarterfinals this weekend.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Football on Off the Ball.
But he's astounding us all with what he's doing already. But I do think we are surely at the end. So let's bring every little last drop out of it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.